Blog Talk Radio.
As real as it seems, the American dream ain't nothing but another calculated scheme to get us locked up, shut up and back insane. Who denies us the future, rob our name, kept my history a mystery, but now I see the American dream wasn't meant for me, cause Lady Liberty's a hypocrisy, lied to me, promised for freedom, education, equality, never gave me nothing but slavery, and now look at how dangerous it made me, calling me a madman, cause I'm strong and bold, with this scuffle of knowledge of the lies it told, promised me emancipation, and this new nation, all you ever gave my people was starvation, fathers of the country never cared for me, they kept my ancestors shackled up in slavery, and Uncle Sam never did a damn thing for me, except lie about the facts in my history, so now I'm sitting here mad cause I'm unemployed, but the government's glad cause they enjoy when my people are down so they can screw us around, time to change the government now, Panther power, Panther power.
Go toe-to-toe with the Panther and you just can't win. Self-proclaimed best, suppress the rest. The rich get richer and the poor take less. The American dream was an American nightmare. You kept my people down and refused to fight fair. The Ku Klux Klan tried to keep us out with signs of truth and state no the blacks allowed. With intimidation and segregation was a waste for our freedom, but now we're impatient. Blacks, the other of skin, scared of sellout. Freedom, equality, get out, yell out. Don't you never be ashamed of what you are. It's your Panther power that makes you a star. Panther power. Mama would never let me forget my history, hoping I was set free. Things that were put on me, wanted to be more than just free. Had to know the true facts about my history. I couldn't settle for being a statistic. Couldn't survive in this capitalistic government, cause it was meant to hold us back. Using ignorance, drugs, the sneak attack in my community. They killed the unity, but when I charge them, trying to claim immunity. I strike America like a case of heart disease. Panther power is running through my arteries. Try to stop me, oh boy, you be clawed to death.
Yeah. Got a round of truce for this one, man.
Black and brown berets.
So all my concrete gorillas.
Black and brown berets, America, let's rumble. PQ, we take no time for staying humble. Street to we take over, watch your Babylon crumble. Sam and to Anna with me gun in all his jungle. Black and brown berets, America, let's rumble. PQ, we take no time for staying humble. Street to we take over, watch your Babylon crumble. Sam and to Anna with me gun in all his jungle.
I'll never pledge of allegiance with the fake United States. So I got every bullet in great fuck. I'll never be deceased with the mark of the beast. And I'll never be a slave for the RFID. Before that I shoot cops and die as a renegade. And supply the inner cities with knowledge and AKs. Grenades, RPGs, you name it, we rise up. And to the 1%, fuck you, your time's up. King Samir Shabazz, come on, let's get these records. Our freedom will begin once I see their brains splattered. Let freedom reign with a buckshot. One shot, all it really takes to get our people out the sweatshop. Heads pop when revolution begins. That's the way it should be, fuck that piece of shit. We the real freedom fighters, not a CIA. Castro's state of mind taking over the...
That's when we got to learn in the norm. Negroes have to learn to stick together.
Brothers and sisters! Who's a king like a general?
Brothers and sisters!
We the people have...
Black power, and more black power to my people. It's your brother, soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli. Most definitely happy to be able to broadcast live with you once again from right here in the hills and smells of North America. As always, this is a privilege. This is a joy. It is an esteemed honor for me to be able to talk to you from this platform, this bold revolutionary radio broadcast called Black Power Radio. And, you know, we come to you every Monday night every Monday night. We come to you blasting the truth, bringing the truth, and giving you the black facts. And tonight will be no different. I'm always honored to be able to talk to you, our supporters, our listeners, and our helpers, and those who are in the new Black Panther Party and black people in general. Thanks for all of you who helped to make this show possible, as we've been on the air for multiple years now, several years now, going through all kinds of transitions and covering all kinds of events, being on the scene, being live first and being all over the place in the hells and smells of North America and throughout the world, and still bringing you the truth as taught by the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. Before I get into that, let me first open up giving thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers, that all-wise, true, and living God who answers to many names. I bear witness that regardless to land, regardless to label, regardless to language, there is but one God. We thank that God for doing what was prophesied and written of that great divine regenerative force to do, which was to seek and to save we who were lost, the 40 to 50 million black men and women here in the hills of North America. And so, as we are taught, we don't believe in a huff or puff of smoke. We don't believe in alakazam. We know that the God of our forefathers and foremothers is a real God that operates in black men and black women and the first original man and original woman in some parts of the world. They call it one God, Ukulukulu. In other parts of the world, they say Yemenya. In other parts of the world, in southern Africa, they say Obachala. In other parts, they say Oshun or Ogun. In other parts, they say Asa, and the feminine is Aset. In other parts of the world, they say Akhenaten. In other parts of the world, they say Allah or Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. In other parts of the world, they say Jehovah, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sikkenu, Jehovah Raka. In other parts, they just stick one finger up in the air. But however, you give praise to that one divine regenerative force, we bear witness to that and give thanks for that force and for putting us in motion and putting us in being and knowing that we were not the slaves that were written of in the history. That slavery was an interruption of our history and our greatness. Slavery interrupted our nation building. It interrupted our family structure. It interrupted our thought processes. It interrupted our dignity. It interrupted our sovereignty. Slavery interrupted our security. But before these events in the time, we know that we were nation builders. We know that we were kings. We know we were queens. We know that we had governments. We know we had schools. We know that we had real hospitals. We know who we are because our ancestors left images and relics and statues and left monuments and artifacts that represented and told us who we were. And so we thank that great God, answer to many names, for our blessings of being black men and black women, a melanated people. We're thankful for all the melanated people across the total face of the earth. Wherever you're found and whatever label you're under, we're one nation. We're thankful for those who have helped to shape civilization, and that even when we were brought here on a westerly course, that our forefathers and foremothers were made to build this country, which was previously uncivilized and wild and pretty much not to the standards of what you saw in Nubia and Kush and Kemet and other areas. And so they brought us here to build up the 13 scrawny colonies. And so we built America. And so here we stand in the hells and smells of North America, the descendants of slaves, many of us, lost from our names, lost from our religion, lost from our language, lost from our folkways, forays, and robbed of the power of our very being. And so we had to have warriors and freedom fighters, revolutionaries, soldiers who would come to us, warners and messengers who would come to us to teach us what we didn't know and to tell us who we were and to wake us up from our 400-plus year slumber as the black man and black woman was put to sleep and subjugated under an alien culture, Jim Crow, black-coded, black lord, segregated. And so, through a 64-year process, a Negro was made, a colored boy was made, a slave was made, a self-hatering, degenerate individual was made. Process had to be reversed. So we thank God for the greats like Sister Harriet Tubman. We're thankful for those like Sister Fannie Lou Hamer. We're thankful for the great Ida B. Wells. We give thanks tonight for the great Denmark Vesey. We give thanks for the great Paul Robeson. We give thanks for the great Marcus Forsyth Garvey, for the great Mr. Elijah Muhammad, for the great Minister Malcolm X, for the great Minister Louis Farrakhan. We give thanks for the greats who have come amongst us, the greats like the Black Panther Party formation of the 1960s and 70s, the greats of the Lowndes County, Alabama Freedom Organization, Black Panther Party before them. Give thanks to the Black Liberation Army, and thanks to all of our political prisoners who have made many sacrifices to push us forward as we make sacrifices in this generation, all who have held the line to return us to our greatness, because black people do not know in 2014 how great that we are. And so we've had voices here in the wilderness to talk to us, and we've had voices and actions here that have opposed us as well. And a no-good bastard by the name of J. Edgar Hoover destroyed the black movements working against the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey and the UNIA, coming on down through the Morris Science Temple of America and through the Nation of Islam and on into the Black Panther Party with his program called COINTELPRO. Richard Nixon then with their program called New Kill and Chess Rob, that they went after our queen warrior, Sister Assata Shakur, the FBI, CIA, and all of those letters like the NSA and others, and TSA today went after our freedom fighters and tried to destroy every remnant of a black power movement. They are documented as saying that if the young black males and females, if the young youth would take hold or ascribe to a revolutionary ideology, that they would be dead revolutionaries. And so there was an attack on the young black male, an attack on the young black female, and the insertion of crack cocaine and biological and chemical warfare was directly targeted at young black males and females to make us self-destructive, self-hating capitalists and drug dependent fools out here in the streets. And so a war was issued against our people in the modern text. So we had to have a resurgence of a black power movement that took shape and took form in the modern presentation, because we don't have a Vietnam War today. Today they're fighting in Syria. Today they're fighting in Iraq. Today they're fighting in Afghanistan. Today they're fighting all over the place. And so what happened yesterday has built today, and today is a continuation of what happened yesterday. And so as they moved on the black party and killed the greats like the great Fred Hampton Sr. and the great Bunchy Carter and the great Huey P. Newton and they jailed Geronimo Jijaga Pratt, and they jailed and killed many others. We had to have a resurgence of that Panther spirit among black people that was willing to resist the oppression and repression against our people and willing to resist the attacks targeted our people. So in 1989, a brother by the name of Michael McGee out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who was a former Panther himself from that Old Guard formation, hooked up with a brother named Aaron Michaels out of Dallas, Texas, and they began to organize what now became known as the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. But the New Black Panther Party would not be known and understood until a shiny, bald, bold black man right out of Texas himself, who was the former Supreme Captain of the elite guard of the Nation of Islam. You know, those brothers trained by Minister Malcolm X and trained by Elijah Muhammad and trained by Farrakhan. You know the Fruit of Islam. This brother was the Supreme Captain of the Fruit of Islam. He was national spokesman for Minister Louis Farrakhan. And when the Nation of Islam was moved on and fell after the departure of Elijah Muhammad, he went into the jungles of Uganda and trained with General Idi Amin Dada. He was there training at a particular point. The Libyan soldiers and Colonel Muammar had been about a general who we were celebrating this first hour. We're talking about a black power general who taught you that his purpose was to give our enemies tail from the cradle to the grave, that he would not relent until black people were organized. And your enemies who work to put crack cocaine and drugs and miseducation and all kind of temptation against our people until they felt the lash and the whip that the ancestors had for them, and that we could be raised up out of the mental grave of ignorance and decadence. I'm talking about the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, who spread this black power movement and New Black Panther Party all over North America. We owe the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad for taking that expertise and spreading this little budding New Black Panther Party to your neck of the woods. And so we know that he made his physical departure in 2001. And from 2001, we were always taught to hold the line. If you heard his lectures, if you saw him personal, if you knew him personally, you know from his captain, Captain Ali Rashid, he always taught you to hold the line. And so the Black Power General put that in us. He taught us to hold the line. Don't move when everybody else is moving. When there's an attack coming, you hold steady. If there's a propaganda attack coming, you hold steady. If things get rough for you, hold steady and hold the course and you hold the line. And so we're holding the line and holding him in our memory banks and in our mission. And so we thank the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and we thank those whom he have trained. And we know that he trained us and trained those to keep this ball rolling. We are thankful to a black man who took the torch when there was a physical transportation or a physical departure from this planet, but there was no physical leave of mission. We're thankful to a brother who was a college graduate, Howard University law student, a man who put his law career on pause to do exactly what a man like Fidel Castro and others did when the time came to be a revolutionary and put your professional career on pause. We're talking about a black man who's went toe-to-toe with the police as a lawyer, a black man who stood up and organized on his campus black people to come to consciousness and come to life, so much to the point to where he was barred off his Howard University. He has the esteemed pleasure of being known as the lawyer of the year, passed his bar exam on the first time around. He's no slouch in academia. Talking about the man whom you've known as the attorney at war, I call him the attorney general, who served us all the way from 2001 up until last year of 2013. And I say served us, meaning in the capacity of chairman, because he's still serving us, and he's still working on behalf of black people, and still organizing right here in the new Black Panther Party. I'm talking about Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and another black man whom that Black Power General has trained and prepared for this mission, as he served as that general's national assistant, Texas area, where we were founded at. He, an organizer of the Metropolitan African American think tank called MIAT, that reciprocity, that harmony, that balance, that order, that peace. He, a brother who crisscrossed this country on behalf of that general, making sure that he was secure, packing two pistols at times when people wanted to take that black man's life, later becoming his national chief of staff, and also becoming the national chief of staff for Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. I'm talking about our national chairman, that man who I called the professor, a revolutionary 24 hours a day, Minister Hashim Nzinga. I got to get all of that to you, the accolades and the respect where it's due, because we're talking about generals and soldiers and a long line in the chain of divine for our people. This is Black Power Radio. Welcome out if it is your first time listening, or if this is your second time, or if you are a long-time supporter of ours. We appreciate you tonight like we do every night. And this will be, of course, a power-packed presentation for you to spark your consciousness. And we know what you're waiting on, as we are expecting, and we'll hear tonight from a black man who is known the world over, who really needs no introduction, a full-time journalist, a editor, a businessman, a community man, and a man who's on top of the issues, TV1's own Roland Martin. He'll be here with us tonight talking over the issues, talking about what's going on in the world, talking about why he was fired from CNN, talking about his times with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. Bet you didn't know that either, huh? He'll be here with you tonight. We also are going to do this. In this first portion, we must pay tribute to the truth terrorist, the black history hitman, the lie killer, the urban guerrilla, the revolutionary roughneck, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad has a born day or a birth date coming up, the 12th of January. The 12th of January is his born day or birth date, and we will not be slack in celebrating the birthright or the birth date of the general. I'm talking about, to me, to be honest, brothers and sisters and others, this should be a national holiday. I'm talking about on January the 12th, you shouldn't have to go to work. You shouldn't have to go to school. You shouldn't have to do anything that you don't want to do for people or for your boss or any of that, because it should be a national holiday. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad labored amongst black people from can't see morning to can't see night, labored so much to the point to where sometimes he'd be so stressed out he'd have to just lay himself down. He loved us so much to the point to where ultimately it would physically tax his body, physically tax his mind, physically tax his spirit. January the 12th, 1848, a son was born to us. A child was given to us. A warrior sent from the Egun or the ancestors sent to us to remind us of our blackness, because there were not many of us saying black power. before he put it back on our consciousness. Yeah, we would say peace, of course. That's our greeting. We'd say assalamu alaikum, of course. We'd say hotep, of course. Shalom, of course. We'd give you that peace, which is our natural greeting, and I greet you in all of those terms and words. But we were not out here saying black power, as the Honorable Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael, was talking about. We were not out here saying black power to black people, as Minister Dr. Huey P. Newton was saying. We had forgotten. The black nation, the movement amongst black people had forgotten black power. We had forgotten about the black power agenda and what it means in response to U.S. imperialism and oppression and white racism and black inferiority complexes. We had forgotten about the antithesis or the equation of black power. And so the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad came with the remedy. He came with the healing medicine. He came with the healing balm to put over our wound and to open our blind eyes to the point to where we could see things as they really was. Some of us out there, before we heard the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, we loved the white man. Some of us couldn't wait to be around white folks. Some of us were using skin lightness. We had blue contacts, purple contacts, green contacts, fuchsia contacts in our eyes. We were using all kinds of Clorox and peroxide to bleach our hair and bleach everything else that we could, trying to be like the white man. We loved everybody but ourselves. We appreciated everybody but ourselves. We read everybody else's history but our own, until we heard that roaring voice here in the West, always draped in the red, the black, and the green, the Honorable Khaled Abdul Muhammad. Some of you may have first heard of him as he smashed and destroyed Phil Donahue. Phil Donahue was never the same after the visit from the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. Some of you, it was your first time you saw him step on the stage in a kente cloth shirt and a white handkerchief with some yellow slacks and matching shoes. Some of you, that was your first time seeing him. Others of you may have heard of him when he hit the news for a quote-unquote supposed so-called controversial speech he gave at King College, where he was speaking on a subject given by the students called the secret relationship between blacks and Jews. At that time, when there was an all-out war between the lies of the so-called Jewish community, who are really Ashkenazi, just crawled up out of the caves and fields of Europe, wannabe Jews, who tried to usurp and steal the birthright of the true Jew and the true Hebrew, which is the black man and black woman, so teaches the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. Some of you may have heard of him then. Some of you may have heard of this black man when he was in a showdown and a lockdown and a drawdown with then mayor of New York, Rudolph Giuliani. And Rudy Giuliani, as he's known, was trying every trick in the book that he could not to allow the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad and then the new Black Panther Party and the Black Power movements to organize the Million Youth March in 1998. Some of you heard of him when Giuliani had squads of police get sicked on the marches and They sicked on the marchers and organized to push them to intimidate them, those who were organizing in the Million Youth March. And the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad didn't punk out, didn't run, didn't turn heels, didn't about face, but he told you to look these bastards in the eye, and that if any one of them attack you, or any one of them riot here today, he say in self-defense, you remove the railing where you are. Some of you heard him when he took the fear out of your heart and out of our hearts. Some of you were there as the helicopters swooped down in military fashion to intimidate us and intimidate black people. And the Honorable Khalid Abdul-Muhammad grabbed the microphone and started to scream, black power, power, black power. And we, in response, started to yell, black power, black power, black power, at the command of our general. And he took command and ordered us in an orderly fashion to defend ourselves against these no-good bastards, these repressive forces and these bastards in police uniform. And we began to remove the railing, many of us, and begin to do exactly as he instructed. And he instructed that if they pulled their guns, that some of them had one gun, two guns, three guns, and that you take that gun from them and use it in self-defense if they try to take your life. Some of you heard of him from that. Others of you may have heard of him. He went into Harlem and did a lecture called Enough Negro Stuff. Revolution is the only solution. But whatever your introduction was to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, from his days as minister on the West Coast, minister on the East Coast, regional minister, national assistant, supreme captain, talking about his Nation of Islam post and position, or as he was national chairman of the New Black Panther Party, even before that, when he was in the Greenville, Texas, before being officially put in as chairman, and he was organizing with the New Black Panther Party for black churches, keeping the Ku Klux Klan and white supremacists from burning black churches. And he told us and told you that if you see a cracker anywhere with a match, to check that cracker and to, you know, do what you got to do on that cracker. Some of you may have heard him at that point. Others of you may have heard of him when he went into Jasper, Texas, and organized for our brother James Byrd after white supremacists had drugged Brother James Byrd miles down the road, so much to the point to where his bones started to deteriorate, that his elbow bones deteriorated and began to grind into powder because Brother James Byrd was trying to protect himself as he was being drugged behind a pickup truck. But I say again, whatever your induction was to the Black Power General, you best make sure that you give thanks to Almighty God for the introduction, however we received it, for the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. We will be celebrating his life in Harlem, New York. It'll come up, and I want to make sure that before the broadcast goes off that I give you the information on where we're going to celebrate his life and legacy at. And I'm asking the chairman, we'll talk about it at a certain point. His life and legacy, we're going to celebrate in Harlem, New York. And so we want you to be a part of that celebration. We want you to also to call in and talk about experience was with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, how he touched your life, how you benefited from hearing him, what Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad did for you and has done for you and is doing for you. Because I'm happy to tell you that every time you see a new Black Panther, anybody with that patch, with that panther coming out of Africa that says freedom or death at the bottom of it, and new Black Panther across the top of it, that's Khalid Muhammad, born again. Anytime you see any of his students with that red, that black, and that green, whether it's a bow tie, whether it's a bandana, whether it's a handkerchief, that's Khalid Abdul Muhammad, back again. And so even though our enemies thought they had done a work, the works of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and they thought that by his physical ascension into the ancestral realm, that his work would stop. He already had told you before that the babies and those in whom he put his spirit in, that they would continue on. And he told you in his last lecture, enough Negro stuff, that even the young would look at some of the old and say, what was wrong with you? Why didn't you follow him? Why didn't you help him? And why didn't you carry on? Our national chairman is going to talk to you about it in a few moments. We want to just talk tonight for a few moments before we bring on our national chairman and go into our guest segment with Brother Roland Martin. We want you to tell us how the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad touched you. I'm going to take some calls here. We're going to be taking calls all throughout the night as we can, but I just want to take a couple of calls here and just hear from you in a few minutes before we bring our chairman on, what the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad meant to you, what he means to you, how he touched you, what he means in your life. Let me take a first call here at area code 347-272-347-272. This is Black Power Radio. We're doing a tribute to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. What did he mean to you? How did he touch your life? Black Power. Black
Peace,
Power,
Black.
347, call 272, you're online.
Peace, Black Power. Sean, this is Brother Shaw from Queens, New York. Black Power, brother. I'd like to thank you. I'm new chief of staff. I'd like to thank Hashim Nzinga, our new chairman. I also like to thank our former chairman, Malik Zubi Shabazz, and give much thanks to our Black Power general, Dr. Khalid Muhammad. I got a question. I was hoping I'd get to ask this of Roland Martin. Do he think that President Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, could pass laws where he gives clemency to all brothers and sisters that have been convicted of narcotic crimes?
Well, what we gonna do, Brother Frank, is hold your question, because when Brother Roland comes on, we want you to have a chance to ask your question. I mean, you're asking it to me. I could answer it for me, but I want him to be able to answer for himself. What we want you to do, Brother, real quick, we'll bring you back. We want you to kind of just, like in one minute or less, tell the people what the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad means to you.
I'm sorry, but I missed your question. All right. Dr. Khalid Muhammad, as you so eloquently stated, was a Black Power general who came back here in the essence of our ancestors, the embodiment of Marcus Garvey, the embodiment of Martin Luther King, the embodiment of Malcolm X and Huey Newton, to upraise our people and to give our people pride and dignity and let us know that we can stand strong and we don't have to shuck and jive and kowtow or buck dance, as he was very fond of saying. We don't have to buck dance to these devils, that we can stand up as black men and black women and do for ourselves. Gave a strong message, and, man, I remember seeing him in the slave theater, and from the first time I heard him speak, his words resonate with me and has inspired me to do all I can for myself and my community, sir.
Excellent, black man. Thank you so much for that personal testimony, brother, on how he touched you. And what we're going to do is we're going to get a chance to talk to Brother Roland Martin live, so we're going to bring you back. I don't want you to lose that question. If you need to write it down, write it down. We want to take a few more minutes to pay tribute to our Black Power General, and we'll come back to you and your question, my brother.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Chief of Staff Sean Qualley.
Thank you, my brother. Black Power to you. Yes, sir. And now, brothers and sisters, another caller here. We'll bring our chairman on in a few more minutes. The area code is 864-321, 864-321. Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, what did he mean to you? What did he mean for you? How did he touch your life, Black Power? Caller 864-321 is your numbers. They're online. have with your phone issue. We take another call here. Area code 504-782. 504-782. You're on live on Black Power Radio. We're doing a quick tribute to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Tell us how he touched you. What did he mean to you? What was your interaction with him? Black Power, welcome to the radio broadcast.
Assalamu alaikum, my brother. I was instructed by Comrade Harold. He told me to contact you about your mixtape.
Contact me about what, my brother?
About your mixtape, your Black Panther mixtape. I'm a brother that admires 46 in New Orleans.
Yes, sir. Excellent. Well, what you do, my brother, is stay tuned because I'll give out the information toward the end of the show on how to get involved with this mixtape. Have you heard of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad?
Not recently, but I just heard him through your broadcast.
All right, excellent. Well, you stay tuned, brother, because you're going to get a crash course and a lesson on a Black Power general who came to us to pull us about this grade. But you just stay tuned, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Black Power. Take one more call here, and I'll bring our chairman in. Eric Code, another one from down south, 504-432-504-432. You're on live, Black Power Radio. Quick tribute to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. What did he mean to you? How did he resonate with you? Go ahead and talk to us. This is Black Power Radio. Welcome.
Black Power, Brother Sharon, Soul Power. I'm calling from the city where Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad started from, right here in New Orleans, Louisiana. With Dr. Khalid, to me, is when he got shot up at Riverside, California, and you know he was going through a lot of stuff at that time, but he still was being strong. He still kept going at the enemy. He never backed down. He was like that till the day he passed, and you know that's what I call a true soldier. Because many people like that, they'll fall at the waistline, they'll give up, but he kept on doing his thing.
Absolutely.
Hello?
Excellent. There from New Orleans, Louisiana, on down there with Dillard is and all that good old stuff. Brother, you right there on some fertile ground there, my brother.
Yeah. Many brothers would have gave up, but he didn't.
He didn't give up. He gave us a revolutionary example, brother. Thank you so much for your personal testimony, brother, on what the Honorable Dr. Khalid meant to you and what example he gave to you. And we'll bring you back if you got a question later from Brother Roland Martin, all right?
All right, brother.
All right, Black Power. At this
Black
time,
Power.
Brothers and sisters, I want to bring on a black man who was there in Riverside, California, with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul, a man who also took bullets with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, but he also gave life with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and is a living example and witness to the teaching, the tutelage, and the structure of the Black Power General. We are happy to have him black with us. He serves and he's here as our national chairman, holding the line, the legacy, and the memory of the general, and fastly organizing as a general himself. Help us to welcome to Black Power Radio our national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Minister Hashim Nzinga. Black Power, Brother Chairman, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Black Power. Can you hear me, Brother Sean?
Black Power. I can hear you well, Brother Chairman. You're on.
You got me so fired up. I was just sitting here reminiscing earlier, looking at some of the DVDs and the archives of our general. And it kind of got me shook up. I was looking at our former national chairman, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, Facebook page, and he had them black boots on, and he say the boots on the ground in the east in the snow. It reminded me so much of when me and him as young soldiers traveled this country with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad. I don't know how we can bring this home, I had a lot I was about to say, but I'm going to slow down now, do it a little different, because one thing we forget, we, the lovers of Dr. Khalid Muhammad, all over the world, yes, I said all over the world, he was a traveler. We understand the structure of the Nation of Islam when you can make it to the national level in the nation and become the national assistant to somebody like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We all know when you can lead and be the supreme captain of the FOI, we know what kind of task, or we think we know what kind of task that is, leading those intelligent soldiers all over the world, following Elijah Muhammad's legacy and Malcolm X's legacy and Minister Farrakhan's instructions. But I'll say this, it's so much to talk about when you talk about the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad. And as you know, Brother and Sister Yan Obah has put together, in spirit of our youth, the dedication of saving our children and securing our future, the African International Merchant Agents present the 13th annual 65th Earth Day of our warlord, I love that language, General Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, Sunday, January 12th. The doors will open at 5 o'clock, Sunday, January 12th. Keynote speaker, they say, will be Dr. Khalid Muhammad in spirit. And we know that's going to be followed up after we get through with the spirit, find the spirit of Dr. Khalid Muhammad up in that room. Then we'll become the guest speakers. Our power, Black Power General that's still on the ground in his boots. Check out his Facebook, Attorney Shabazz's Facebook. It's awesome pictures of Dr. Khalid all over it today. Attorney Malik Lou Shabazz from Black Lawyers for Justice. Myself, Brother Hashim Nzinga, Chairman of New Black Panther Party. Sister Pan Africa, the Uncompromising International Warrior. And another guest speaker, Dr. Omar Johnson, who's been eating this thing up around the country. And what I like about this, well, let's just go ahead and give the place. The place this will be held is in Brooklyn, New York, the Christian Center, 1061 Atlantic Avenue. That's the Brooklyn Christian Center in Brooklyn, of course, New York, 1061 Atlantic Avenue, between Franklin Avenue and Classen Avenue. And I know all the Black Power Radio listeners always have a pen and paper. If you need information, you can call 347-876-0122, 347-876-0122, or 347-678-4274. One more time, that's 347-678-4274. And if you want to send an email, sponsors of the program, you can send it to Brother Sean, buyblackcampaign@yahoo.com. And there's vending spaces available if you call those numbers, and they're working off a $5 donation. And I love the title, In the Spirit of Our Youth, dedicated to saving our children and securing the future, because when Attorney Shabazz and Dr. Khalid and myself came down the road to bring the 98 Million Youth March, Dr. Khalid was always an advocate for the youth. He made some of his most stirring history on the college campuses, where he would drive the young youth crazy. But let me go back to something, Brother Sean, that's very important. The young man, we so arrogant and we so bold and black and excited because we know the Black Power General. We booted and suited with him. Many of us that's on the air and listening worked with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad. He had our numbers in his cell phone, and he called them regularly. But when we hear young people on Black Talk Radio saying they heard of him, but they don't really know who he is, that means we got work to do. That means we got work to do. And that's why tonight we're not somewhere at no booty shaking club. Tonight we're not somewhere at no banquet. Tonight we're not somewhere in no nice restaurant with candles and violins. Tonight we're not on the basketball court or looking at no damn football game. Tonight we're honoring the Black Power General 65th birthday, if he was here with us, 65th Earth Day, if he was here with us, for the young man who came on the air tonight, Brother Sean, could get to experience the spirit of a Dr. Khalid Muhammad. And what I would tell him as he listened, to just go on your Google and put in K-H-A-L-L-I-D-A-B-D-U-L. M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D, and get acquainted with the coldest, boldest black man you'll probably ever run across as you go across your Google and read his history and look at some of those videos. And in a couple of months, you'll be on Black Power Radio giving us the story. And for the young man, Dr. Khalid Muhammad was born January 12th. And only God knew what he was doing. January 12, 1948, the young then called Harold Moore Jr. Aunt had a job. He used to call her Aunt Carrie, growing up in Houston, Texas. Brother Sean, they didn't know what they was brewing at Bruce Elementary School out there in Houston. And when he slipped over to M.O. Smith Junior High School and went on to high school at Phyllis Wheatley, they didn't know what they were brewing when he went on to Pepperdine and Dillard, became Omega. A lot of people don't know Dr. Khalid Muhammad got his degree in theology. He studied theology. He took ministry and religion very, very, very serious. He got a bachelor's degree out in California at Pepperdine's. He got a master's at Dillard's. And then he thought he would just become Omega because he told me he thought they were the toughest on campus. But sometime around 1970, he would meet the Honorable Louis Farrakhan at one of them college campuses, and he would join the Nation of Islam and become Harold Smith. And moving up quickly through the ranks by 78, he was the regional Western Regional Minister of March 27. By 1983, he got that name, Khalid, the Sword of Allah. 1984, he traveled to Libya and met with Gaddafi and others and started becoming an international traveler, going to Uganda and training with Idi Amin and going all over the world. And by 1984, he became the national spokesman of the Nation of Islam and to Minister Farrakhan. And as we know, in the 80s, he was going to do something that he was very proud of. He became the minister of Mosque number 7 in New York, where Malcolm and Minister Farrakhan and some of the greatest captains, lieutenants, and soldiers in the nation always honored New York. He was captain of New York and L.A. And in the 80s, he was in Atlanta. As a matter of fact, he got so Cole in Atlanta, they trapped him and sent him to the penitentiary in 87 for about 9 months. But he came out on fire. And eventually, for the young man listening, you'll get to 1993, and you'll take a visit to Union Township, New Jersey, and you'll click, and you'll hear a speech at King College that will make the United States Senate, United States Representatives vote 97-0 to censor Dr. Khalid. And eventually, you would find a time when Minister Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam and Dr. Khalid parted ways, and Dr. Khalid had to find out what he's going to do in life, and you if you keep looking, in 1994, in those years, you would see Attorney Shabazz setting him up for the Phil Donahue show, setting him up in Washington, D.C., with Arado on Fox. And Dr. Collar would continue to do the Black Holocaust and talk about reparations on C-SPAN and become known all over the world. And eventually they couldn't take him no more. And May 29th, a day I'll never forget, Brother Sean, 1994, I will be standing next to Dr. Collar as he was doing a speech in Riverside, California to the young youth. And I will hear bullets fly out of a 9mm, some 7 to 8 shots fired. 5 of us hit as Jane Best tried to take the life of Dr. Khalid Muhammad, but God wasn't ready. And when he came off of that, sometime in May 21st, this May is a hell of a date, May 29th, 1994, Brother Sean, is when Jane Best tried to assassinate him. And then May 21st, 1997, is when he became chairman of the New Black Panther Party. And then a time later, we would all head to New York in September to put on the mighty, mighty 1998 Million Youth March. And after the march, Dr. Collar would go back and forward with Million Youth Marches again. And as he got the young people ready to stand up and take a stand, we would lose our general in Atlanta in 2001 of a brain aneurysm. But by then, God has let him made a history that is going to be hard for any person to touch. And so I say to the young man, Google that name. I think you'll find it worthy of your time. My big brother made me a man. My big brother touched me and made me understand spirituality, made me understand morality, made me understand that you didn't have to be in the nation, you didn't have to be in this, you didn't have to be in that. I was a Christian, he was a Muslim, and we walked the land side by side for righteousness, for justice. He was a man that, Brother Sean, he wouldn't make excuses, and he wouldn't let you make excuses, and most people ran from him. And this country wasn't the same when he was here. He didn't let this country get away with nothing that they did to black people that wasn't right. He crisscrossed this country with a buddy pass on them planes, and when you needed him, you better believe Dr. Collar was going to show up and show out. And every time he moved, thank God, he made national news. But he didn't make national news to become a celebrity. He didn't make national news just because he needed something to do. He made national news because Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz would call on him. Aaron Michaels would call on him. Brother Obi and Sister Yah would call on him. People all over the country would call on him. He would go to New York and he would fight for them vendors. Then he would crisscross back country, across the country, and fight in Jasper, Texas, for a young brother who was drugged behind a truck to his death. And all the time, he was a father. He had 3 sons. He was a husband. People forget he had a life, but he dedicated himself to black power. The brother we're going to bring on in a few minutes on the top of the hour, I'll never forget the first day I met Dr. Khalid Muhammad, April 1st, 1994, at the DFW airport in Dallas, Texas. The airport was full of media from all over the world. I couldn't handle it. I was young, running the think tank. I had brought him in to speak. I didn't know what in the hell I had got myself into. I had never seen that many trucks, that many cameras. And a young brother from Fort Worth Star-Telegram asked me if I wanted him to coordinate the media. I said, what do you mean? He said, I think this is too big. You got the media everywhere. And I told the brother if he could just help me, I would appreciate it. And that brother was young journalist Roland Martin, another brother out of Houston, Texas, another brother who has made his mark now. But on that day in April 3rd, 1994, he coordinated Dr. Khalid Muhammad a media blitz. And his wife worked for one of the stations in Dallas. He worked in Fort Worth, and he put all the stations together, and he made sure everybody got the interviews. And he had, what we'll find out later, he had himself had the background of Houston, Texas, going to Jack Yates High School, Magnum School for Communication. Then he went on to Texas A&M for Communications. Then he came out of there and went to work, man. And he went to work, and as before we bring him on, Roland Martin, the journalist, worked for TV1, as we know. News1 Now is his show from 9 to 10. He worked for BET on Leading Stories, CNN contributor, in the Solution Room with them old Anderson Cooper and all the boys, AC360. Then he went on to be on WBON in Chicago.
I got it.
Then he went on Tom Joyner Morning Show, and he's still on there to this day. The Situation Room. He went on to become the chief over at the Chicago Defender. Went on to become an author and a book writer, special brother, Black Man Viewer of America, Listen to the Spirit Within. He went on to write a book as he traveled with Barack Obama, Road to the White House. This brother went on to college in Louisiana called Louisiana's Baptist University and got a master's degree in Christian Communications. He's something else, man. His wife, who I met a long time ago, she wrote a book called Fulfilling the Art of Joy and Balancing Living. And in a few minutes, we're going to get this brother on. But I just had to say how him and Dr. Khalid Muhammad met and how I met him. And then, Sean, next week we know the whole show because we know next week we'll be leaving New York after Sunday on the 12th and coming back on the 13th. The whole show will be attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and all of us celebrating again the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad Earth Day, because no way we can celebrate it in 1 hour. Next week, we're going to use the whole 2 hours, and we're going to get other people as guests, people who soldiered with him from the nation, people who soldiered with him in the Panther Party. Some, we're going to try to get his son on, and we're going to try to get some of his family members on, and we're going to really talk about this man. For the young man who called, we never have to worry about that again. Now, Brother Sean, if you take over, I'll try to grab Brother Roland.
Yes, sir. And brothers and sisters, the number to call tonight will be 646-478-4447. Again, that's 646-478-4447. I know the lines are jam-packed. If you have trouble getting in, try to call thing live to Black Power Radio, the voice of Minister Hashim and Zinga, National Chairman of our organization, and standing by and taxing the runway will be that great TV One host, Brother Roland Martin. And again, don't forget there will be a celebration of the birthday, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, this coming Sunday, January the 12th, Harlem, New York, Christian Life Center, 1060 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. And be there, as we used to say, be there or be squared. Matter of fact, beat us there. As we celebrate a man who gave his life to liberate our people and pick us up, and make sure that you support the moves of the organization that he helped to build and put his life's blood into, that we're standing on, the New Black Panther Party. Our website, for those who have never been, is newblackpanther.com. NewBlackPanther.com. And you can check out our latest and greatest as we are building that website, preparing to publish our newspapers, and all of the things that we do on a daily and consistent basis. That is the best way to get our official message so that you are not fooled by the Fox Newses or any of those out there who get you on a soundbite. So make sure you keep up with the website. Put that in your browser and get the information off of it, our blog sites, our Twitter sites, and get the information on Black nationalism, Black power, revolutionary nationalism, Pan-Africanism, what's going on with the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania and our International Pan-Africanist Congress coming up, convention coming up. what's going on with the all-men's meeting that our national chairman and attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz, Black Voice for Justice, is putting together. What's happening with the Stop the Black-on-Black Violence campaign that the new Black Panther Party is a part of with the Messianic African Nation and Minister Paul Scott, and so much more that's happening. Our missing children's reports and search and rescue missions for our missing and exploited Black children. So many efforts that you yourself can be a part of, and we're looking to build up in every city in America, even where we are. We want to strengthen our chapters. And if there are no chapters there, we want to organize chapters or a chapter of the new Black Panther Party, or in the spirit of our national chairman, a Panther think tank in your city.
Okay.
And so go to newblackpanther.com or email us at newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com for further information and instructions. You can start today. We want all Black people to get involved in the best way possible. Brother Chairman, you back?
We back. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
Well, we are honored. You know, Roland, we got Dr. Khalid Muhammad. He'll be 65 on the 12th. We're doing a big deal for him. And I was telling the listeners how me and you got together and how you helped us orchestrate when he was coming out of the King College situation. You came to DFW Airport and helped me at a young age when I was doing the think tank.
Well, at that time, I was covering the story for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram because I remember when he, you know, I covered his when he spoke at the Black Academy of Arts and Letters, and then of course when he was supposed to speak at Friendship West, and I'd actually went to the service that Sunday and covered that when they had that whole day there as well. So yeah, I mean, as a journalist, I certainly, and of course, when you guys were down in Jasper, Texas, I covered the protest there after James Byrd Jr. had been killed. So yeah, definitely did all of that.
Roland, what I wanted to talk to you about with our audience, we've been doing this show on Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz and Brother Sean Quali, our producer, for many, many years. But I'm always happy with you because there's a lot of Roland Martin. Like it was a lot of Dr. Khalid Muhammad that people didn't know. I want you to talk about, not now, but before we get off, about the babies that you raise, that you take to school every day, that you drop off, and that you make sure they're doing okay. But first I want to ask a couple questions because it took me a while to know you was from Houston, Texas, like Dr. Khalid. That's where you get that fire from. I claim that for you. But one of the things that is kind of got me excited about you is the length you went in your education. I didn't know you had went to Louisiana Baptist University and got a master's. We had your little school down here at the Dome the other day. I think they won a football game, Texas A&M.
Of course.
And a lot of people don't know your journey. But what I like about your journey, I love, and we're going to talk about it, I love News One now. I love watching you on Washington Watch. I love you on all that TV One. I love you when you was on KKDA, writing for Dallas Weekly, BlackAmericaWeb.com. I love you when you was writing Fort Worth Star-Telegram. I love you when you was with BET. I love you on CNN. You stuck up for our people. And you would challenge Anderson Cooper and all the rest of them. We love you on radio when you was at WBON Chicago. And then in your writing career, when you went to the newspaper side, people don't know, the Chicago Defender, you led what people talked about with that paper. You know, but what I really, really like about you is the art of the books. Remember me and you and Mike Roberts was in St. Louis, you were doing a book signing, and you wrote a book called Speaker, Brother, and then A Black Man View of America. Listen to the Spirit Within was my favorite. And then The Road to the White House with Obama. I want to be quiet a minute, and then I want to challenge you later. But we got so many listeners that don't understand the power of news, of writing, of radio, and newspapers. Can you tell us why a Roland Martin became a Roland Martin? To get to where you are now, you know it wasn't easy, and I'll be quiet.
Well, I mean, I'll frame it this way, and I've often said this that I've given across the country, and that is if you look at whenever there's a coup, whenever there's a coup anywhere in the world, the first thing they get in control of is the military. You've got to have the guns. But the second thing they deal with is the media. The radio stations, the television stations, the newspapers, they shut down the opposition media outlets. When the CIA led the overthrow of Mossadegh in Iran, they legitimized the chosen puppet by going on the radio and decreeing that this is official. Now, that's the power of media. It is the most powerful medium known to man, because although you can take over a country, you can use media to overthrow officials, overthrow governments, to seed all kind of unrest. And so when I had the decision when I was in junior high school to go to a magnet school, I looked at several options, and it really boiled down to the law enforcement and criminal justice magnet school in Houston, as well as the school of communication at Gates High School. And so for me, I've always understood the power of media. I've always been impressed with it as well. And it is a decision that I made when I was 14 years old. And I've never wavered. I've never altered. I've had people come to me and say, hey, we want you to run for public office, and we want you to do this and do that, and all kind of different stuff. And I said point blank, no, this is where God placed me to be. This is where God actually put me in where I can do what's right and do what's just. And so that's one of the reasons why I've never changed. I turned down an internship with CBS News to work at the Houston Defender in 1990. That was one, I would say, was at the outset, was one of the most important decisions I had ever made, because I could have easily been carrying around the tripod and things along those lines, at CBS, but it was working at the Houston Defender, being under Sonny Messiah Childs, being under her, watching her leadership, and having an African American who actually ran the publication. So I got to see ownership. I got to see entrepreneurship. She would often talk to me about decisions that she was making, and so she saw something in me at a very early age, and that really helped me as I began to develop and began to do different things as I stepped forward, in my career. And so I just think that, what I tell people all the time is once you know what God's will for your life is, then that's what you do. Then that's what you actually focus on.
Let me ask you this, Roland. Man, I'm glad you went to that magnet school, and I'm glad you didn't go to CBS, because you've saved us so many times. And I know when Brock was running, everybody would say the same thing. They would go to you, and it was like, let's go to Brock's Defender. And then we noticed on the second coming of Brock, and some of us got issues with some of the stuff, but we'll work that out later. But on the second coming of Brock, it seemed like you had got too powerful. And a lot of my friends, which I got some powerful friends, we were talking about what CNN and the move CNN made and how they made it. Now, you're a journalist, and people don't understand, you're an author, you're a CEO, you ran publications, you helped shape TV1 to be what it is in the news, as far as we're concerned. But what was it like behind the line, because we're on the other side trying to get to you, what was it like in CNN and major international networks like that, with the politics behind it, being a Roland Martin?
Well, the thing that I make clear from day one is I was going to speak truth no matter what. I wasn't going to play a game. I wasn't going to kowtow. I wasn't going to misrepresent myself. I wasn't going to sit on the air and say things to make folks happy. And look, there were times when Clinton campaign despised what I had to say. There were times the Obama campaign didn't like what I had to say. There were times when the conservatives and the Republicans didn't like what I had to say. And I made it clear to them, I said, look, guys, I don't play Democratic, Republican, conservative, liberal games. I said, because for me, depending upon the issue, I said that's really where I stand. But I think you nailed it when you said, oh, I had a huge role in 2008, and I think it was certainly by design to limit me in 2012. It was interesting when I was at the I barely got on television at the Republican National. Actually, it was funny. I got on more on television at the Republican National Convention than I did the Democratic National Convention. And I remember I got a phone call Monday night in the DNC. Hey, we're not going to need you this week. And I go, excuse me? I said, the convention hasn't even started yet. And you're telling, I said, you flew me here. I'm in a hotel room here. You're paying for all of my stuff. And you're telling me today you're not going to need me. I mean, it was nonsensical. And so, look, when I when the convention was over, I went to them and I said, all right, you guys can tell me right now whether you're going to use me on debate nights. I said, because you didn't use me in the convention, so no, we're not going to use you in debate nights. And so I knew that was a decision made on purpose. And so, you know, it's kind of like, okay, fine, whatever. I had my own show. I had my own platforms. I had my daily segment on the Tom Cronin Morning Show, my syndicated column, my own show on TV1. And one of the reasons I did that, it's really important, folks, to understand this, is that I always understood that I did not want to have one place that controlled my voice, that determined my destiny. And I wanted to be able to have multiple outlets for me to be able to speak to the issues. And that was what was important. So, you know, it is what it is. And so I just sort of laughed it off, but I made sure that I was not going to allow any one place to control my voice.
Well, let me say this, Roland. In November 14th, 1968, when you were born, right around 1972, a couple of years after that, a man knocked on my door in Midland, Texas, and he asked my mama to give him $7.60, and he would hook some up to our little TV with the far paper on it that was black and white, and we would get something called BET. And my mama gave him that $7 a month until BET became Viacom. And let me say the reason I'm so happy to have you on tonight, man, I got a couple of questions, is when I used to watch you contribute on BET on Lead Story, I was so proud because I knew that was ours. And we know we're not crazy. We know CNN. We know Viacom. We know all the story about the Jews controlling media, Ted Turner, whoever. We're not talking racism. We're talking politics of the airwaves of powerful TV channels like yourself. We all know what happens and what you go through. But I was so proud of BET. But my question to you tonight is when I watch you on Washington Watch and when I listen to you on Tom Joyner in the morning when I'm riding with my kids to school, and we go on News One now, and I'm so happy that we can go to TV One, and I applaud Kathy Hughes, that because it used to be when a CNN do something like that to a brother like you, we had nowhere else to go. So what is it going to take? Because so many times the black audience feel betrayal. What is it going to take for us to support TV One and Kathy Hughes like we should? Y'all very professional. You're always on point. It's black-owned. It's black-ran. Why do we have to beg for Hannity and Combs and Bill O'Reilly? Why do we even have to deal with Rush Limbaugh? What is wrong with us that we don't understand that we got TV One?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. It's very interesting when I look at Univision and I look at them partnering. I look at them partnering with ABC to launch that network. If you go to Nielsen, what you will see is you will see that the top 10 shows in Hispanic households are Univision. Nothing on ABC, CBS, NBC, any of those places. Nothing. And so the thing for us is we have to understand that we have to be in control of our own story, in control of our own destiny, in control of our own narrative. And there are stories that there are things that, you know, for perfect example, when the young girl Kenyetta Clark came up missing December 26th in Raleigh, North Carolina, we had her mother on News One Now. These networks, when a black woman and a black girl comes up missing, you're not going to see them. You're simply not going to see it. And the thing that we always talk about is that our issues matter, and they shouldn't be secondary. They should not be sort of, well, every now and then we'll talk about it and deal with it. And I think that, and that's the thing that, man, that why we are important. When we had Washington Watch, on Washington Watch, I focused on voter suppression 2 years before the presidential election. 2 years.
Wow.
I wasn't sitting here waiting until the election came up. No, I dealt with the issues. And what happens, man, is you got folks, man, who didn't even talk about it on the other Sunday morning news shows. It never even came up. Well, we were pounding it every week. We were saying, this is what's happening in North Carolina. This is what's happening in Pennsylvania. This is what's happening in Mississippi. This is what's happening in Alabama. This is the court challenge in Texas. This is the challenge here and here and here and here. And that's why we were there. When you have your own, when you have your own network, when you're able to control the narrative, then you're able to inform the people. To me, that's why it's important that you do that. Latinos understand that. Latinos understand. I mean, if you go to some, man, when I go home to Houston, you know, I'll see 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Spanish language stations. That's for a reason. And I think with African Americans, for instance, you know, Dish Network, we've been fighting Dish Network now for 9 years to put us on the air. And we're still fighting them. You know, and it's like, look, you know, we have a viable network. They've got a lot of black consumers. They want to see what we have to offer. And so African Americans, and I'll frame it this way, and I've often said this in my speeches, and I've said it on radio and television, we do not want to see the day. We do not want to experience the day when we look up and don't have black-owned magazines and radio stations and newspapers. If you think there's an inability to tell our story today, wait till that happens. That's a day we never want to see.
I was about to go there with you. You know, when we go through our history, W.E.D. Boys told his story through the newspaper at NAACP. Marcus Garvey told his story through his newspaper. Frederick Douglass told his story to his newspaper. Honorable Elijah Muhammad came out with Muhammad Speak. It was over. Now, Minister Farrakhan tell his story through the newspaper. The original Panther Party, newspaper. The new Black Panther Party, newspaper. That's why I really enjoyed, and a lot of listeners don't know how hard you worked in Chicago for the Chicago Defender. I used to read it. I used to Google it. But my question is, how do you, and then we got some people going to ask you questions all over the country. I want to get them in because they'll say I'm hogging the show like, but how do you do Tom Joyner from 7 in the morning to 10, News 1 from 9 to 10, and watch, Washington Watch from 11 to 5. Is it pre-recorded? I know some of it's live. How do you get
So, well, here's the deal. We when we launch News One now, we stopped doing Washington Watch on Sundays. So Washington Watch was a weekly show aired at 11 a.m. Eastern on Sundays. And then we launched News One now, and we went 5 days a week. So what happens is I have my syndicated radio show is 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern. The 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern portion of the show also airs on TV One. My Tom Jordan segment is 7:15 a.m. Eastern, 3 days a week. And so what I do is I come on the air at 7 a.m. On Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I do my show. And then we go to break at 7:08. We have a taped news piece that airs from 7:12 to 7:20. When I go to break, I then go down the hallway to my office. My equipment is already plugged up. I connect to the Tom Jordan Morning Show, do my segment, and then I get up for the Tom Jordan Morning Show and go back into my studio, back to do my own radio show.
So all of this is done in Washington.
That's how I do it every day.
And that's all done in Washington. But what about on the way to work? When do you take these babies to school? And tell us about the babies.
I have my nieces. They've lived with us. My wife and I, we've actually raised my nieces, different nieces, off and on, five different times. Look, the reality is we have family members who have issues and who go through issues and in terms of dealing with stuff. We've stepped in and assisted them. And so they live with us, and they actually attend an online charter school. And so they're here. And so we provide them, I got six different nieces in, two in elementary, two in junior high, two in high school, and that's what we do. And so, in my family, it's all about the most important thing for us is education. The most important thing is education. And we make no bones about it. We make it perfectly clear. It's about giving them a shot. I could very easily be selfish and say it's about saving money and investing money and those things, but we certainly believe in giving them a shot at the future.
Well, we're going to take some calls, Roland, because our listener has been waiting for this show, and we want to make sure that we have a voice out there like yours on TV One and others, because the new Black Panther Party is always bashed. The story is always slanted. And you've been a friend of mine a long time. If you didn't know, now I'm the chairman of the new Black Panther Party. We got to rebuild this relationship so in the future we can go out here, because you know me and you've been knowing me a long time and you've seen the kind of events I attend and what kind of person I am. We're going to be on the front line for black people. And we're going to deal with it. And you've been a mentor of mine, and Attorney Shabazz, and me and you, and Dr. Collins, and on to all the rest of our inner circle.
What was interesting is that people, I had somebody ask me, they said, how are you known, folks? I said, I'm a journalist. I said, when you're a journalist, over the years, you meet any number of people. I said, and you cover stories, here's the deal: sources are sources, and that's why it's sort of like, and I tell people all the time, you know people, you cover things, and it's always interesting to me when people don't seem to understand what happens with journalists. I got other journalists, and you look at people over the years, Lerone Bennett and others, the folks who they've interviewed and covered over the years. And so I just get a kick out of people who act as if you don't cross paths with people of different backgrounds, persuasions, and from different parts of the country. I man, they, you know, that's the nature when you've been, you know, I've been a journalist now. You know, I started December 31st, 1991 at the Austin American Statesman. You know, this is my, 22nd year in the business. And so that's the reality of the game.
And, you know, when you said that, it reminds me of something that our listeners need to hear. When you say Lerone Bennett, you know, because you've been in Jet, you've been in Ebony, and we know history real good. And John Johnson Publishing Company gave our great writer, Lerone Bennett, his start. And I'll never forget getting them Ebony books, Portraits of History of Black America, which I'm holding in my hand. And we have got a history to be told. Brother Sean, if you got any questions for Brother Roland, if not, we can open up the lines. And I want to listen to our listeners. And we got our big brother and our lead journalist. And we're going to get on this station, network that he say we're going to talk off the air, Roland. And we're going to go and find out some people. We're going to start a campaign to get y'all wherever you need to go. Brother Sean, it's on you.
Okay. Brother Roland, just one quick question for you. First of all, thank you for answering all the questions you've answered so far. A lot of times what we do as activists and Black Power advocates, we see that it gets lost in translation in the media. Now, being a journalist and a man who covers a lot, could you give us some tips and some pointers on how to get our message more effectively across over your medium?
Well, I think that, I've done workshops. We've done through the National Association of Black Journalists, DFW, Association of Black Communicators. When I was in Chicago, Houston, and Austin, we've done a variety of workshops helping folk. And the first thing is very interesting. I've done interviews where I'll interview somebody and they will put a tape recorder on the table as well. And I know some journalists who get offended by that, you know, how dare you. Well, that never bothers me. It doesn't bother me because my goal is to quote somebody accurately. And so I have no problem with that. But I also think that what has changed is that social media has changed so much of what happens today. Because I'll give you an example. You look at traditional media outlets are in this tug of war, the Obama administration. Because what the Obama administration does is they effectively utilize new media, and they have a White House photographer who covers a lot of their events, and they post those photos on the White House Flickr page and put them on social media. And so the media outlets say, well, you know, we should have our own photographers there. And so social media has actually equalized the playing field because it's no longer about waiting on a media outlet to tell your story. I mean, even in my case, look, when I was at CNN, there were a couple of times, man, where I broke some stories and I didn't get the credit for it where, you know, my name wasn't even on the story. And so I said, okay, fine. So what I started doing was I just broke the story myself on my social media page, on my Facebook and my Twitter page, and that's how I did it. And so what I would tell anybody is in fact, I don't care who they are, is you effectively utilize social media.
Brother Sean?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
We got to grab them back. Hold on. Stay right there.
All right. Okay. Brother Sizzle, we're preparing to take your questions. We know you're lined up. We just wanted that last point. All right. We see you in the queue. We see you all in the queue. We're going to get as many of you here as we can. Hopefully we'll be able to go into the after show past 10 o'clock. So make sure that you're on the line, 646-478-4447. We're talking live with analyst and journalist Roland Martin. Going to grab him right back as his line. Just fell forward for a second.
Yeah.
Okay. You
all right? Sean, we're back.
All right. Go right ahead.
You were talking about your social media page, which
Yeah. Just what I simply said is that you utilize social media that way. It is an unfiltered voice. And so, you know, I've said that to any number of people. And I think you're seeing that. I think you're seeing people who use it that way, who say, I can communicate directly with people and it's not being framed through somebody else's prism. You can just sort of frame it yourself.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Roland?
Yes.
So people, and Sean, you can get a call already, but people can follow you at Roland at on your Twitter, just at Roland Martin,
yeah,
right?
Actually, my Twitter feed is Roland S. Martin. I'm also I also have a Facebook like page. I'm on Instagram as well. So you know we're on, and Instagram is Roland S. Martin. So, and of course my website is RolandSMartin.com.
Now the new visual media is still where people contact you at the 312-543-6000 number to get you to speak at the many engagements our people have all over the country.
No. That's a Chicago number. So the easiest, no. What you do is the best. Everything that we have is now digital, and so that's a matter of going on to RolandSMartin.com. You can click speaking. There's a form to fill out. Then that goes to my office, and then we go from there. So yeah, we make it where you don't even have to actually, you know, like a lot of people, they try to, oh, who can I call or whatever. You know, people are busy or whatever, and so we really utilize digital as much as possible. That's why we have the YouTube page, and we have all the other different stuff as well. So, just go to the site, click speaking, and then boom, there you go. That's how you reach me.
Okay, go ahead, Sean, and for these listening on, get mad at us. But I'm looking at it now, a request for Roland Martin for his events. So, okay, we'll get at after the show, too. Go ahead, Sean, I'm sorry.
There you go.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to
take some questions.
347-272-372 on live with Black Power Radio, I guess, for the Roland Martin. Where was your question? Comment. Welcome, Black Power.
Peace and Black Power, Chief of Staff, Sean Kwali. I'd like to extend peace and Black Power to our Ambassador Chairman, Haseem Nzinga. And, man, Roland, it's a pleasure and honor to be with a brother like you who's such a great presenter and defender of the truth and the facts in so many different mediums. I would like to ask you a question, brother.
Okay.
And the question is, as you so eloquently put, that social media has pretty much equaled the playing field, because now each and every one of us basically have the capability of being the news and presenting the truth firsthand accounts with our cell phones, and that's a beautiful thing. But how do you think that we could better use social media to reach more of the masses of our people and wake them up and bring them and make them aware of the issues that we're facing as a people, sir?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that you have to recognize is where are people mentally? If you look at two of the top black websites in the country, it's World Star Hip Hop as well as Media Takeoff. You know, both of those sites to me have significant trash on those websites, and I think what happens is we really have to accept have a zero tolerance standpoint called ratchet behavior and content. What happens is you'll have African Americans who will say, "Hey, you know, this is my escape." The stuff that I'm watching is just like looking at Love and Hip Hop and Real Housewives and that kind of trash as well. Well, I don't watch that crap, and that's exactly what it is to me. It's crap. And what we have to do is to keep pushing and prodding people to stay informed on the issues, because I think it is very easy to lull us into a sense of complacency, where we aren't aware of what's happening because we're spending so much of our time on what I call messy, trifling websites. And I think that if you look at the fact that African Americans over-index on Twitter, we represent 13% of the population, but in excess of 26% of Twitter users, the same thing with Instagram and other mediums, African Americans purchase pads, iPads, and Samsung and Microsoft. We purchase more of those than anybody else. You look at our usage when it comes to mobile devices. We also over-index when it comes to mobile devices. And so we have the content mediums. We have the ability to have those things in our possession. It's simply a question of how we use it.
All right, Carlos, thank you so much for that. We'll take another call here. The area code is 845-706, 845-706. You're on live, Black Power Radio, our guest, Brother Roland Martin. Your question, comment, please. Welcome.
Black Power, gentlemen. It's Brother Ishmael Shabazz. Mr. Martin, one question I have.
Yes.
Do you guys do any shows on the black and black violence?
And, well, we have. I mean, we've certainly done that, and we've done it not just from the vantage point of, oh, this is sort of sad. Is really exploring, you know, how do we confront it? You know, we've had sociologists on, we've had pastors on, we've had educators on, a variety of people on, talking about the issues and what we can do. So absolutely, we've done that and we'll continue to do so.
Yeah, and my other question was the surreal shows, the sisters that the show that they have of the young ladies. I don't watch a lot of TV, but my thing is that they're promoting bullshit, garbage. You know what? You already answered that question. You know the sisters of Atlanta.
You understand what you have with those shows. I mean, those shows are targeting black women. You look at the numbers, and that's who they're targeting. Look, I don't watch them either. I mean, I am a huge critic of those kind of reality shows. I don't find it to be interesting or engaging to watch four black women on television yelling, cussing, screaming, jumping across the tables, fighting. To me, that's just utter ignorance. And I don't watch it. And I think that here's what's interesting that I think we have to recognize is African-Americans watch those shows in significant numbers on VH1, on Wii, on Lifetime, on these other networks, yet TV1, if BET chose to air one of those shows, we would be ridiculed and torn apart by our people. Now, but follow me here, and this is what people don't quite understand. As a network, we are in competition with those shows for black eyeballs. We are in competition with those shows for advertisers. And so we are stuck in a catch-22 where the audience is saying we want to – because remember, the audience votes with their eyeballs. They vote with their remote controls. So we are in a situation where the audience is saying, oh, we want to watch those shows – But if y'all put that kind of show on, then we're gonna rip you to shreds. But we have to compete with those shows as well. And so what I try to explain to people is frankly being hypocritical by saying, oh, to a BET or TV1, how dare you put those shows on? But then we have to compete with those very same shows for advertising dollars and for eyeballs.
Okay, hey, one more question. Do you have any books out?
Yeah,
did
you
write
go to RolandSMartin.com. I have my book, Listening to the Spirit Within, 50 Perspectives on Faith, and I also have the book, Barack Obama's Road to the White House, as originally reported by Roland S. Martin. My wife and I did a book of devotionals for couples. We have that on the website as well. And then, of course, she has her book, Fulfill the Art, Joy of Balanced Living. And so not only did we write those books, we also published those books.
Okay, one thing, I watch you on CNN and numbers, and I really appreciate, man, your output, the honesty and your opinion, your truthful opinion. And I honor you, sir, and I hope you continue
I appreciate
to do
it.
That. Okay, Black Power.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Hey, I'm gonna have to go in a little bit because I gotta be up at 4 o'clock in the morning, so I gotta get to sleep.
We'll get a couple more questions. I was so glad he came back to the book writing and your publishing company, because that's what I was trying to let our listeners know before you came on, that I appreciate you more with the newspapers where you can write your thoughts, edit them, and get it out, and reading your books. And I was with you at a book signing in St. Louis, and I grabbed that book and read it. And then, of course, that book, Listening to Your Spirit Within. Man, these are deep books, and I was so glad we got that out there, and people going to go on your website. But, Sean, let's take a couple more callers, and then we'll let Brother Roland get up at 4 in the morning.
Okay. Just a few more calls. Eric, call 812-207, 812-207. You're on live for the Roland Martin Black Power Radio. Your question, please. Black Power, welcome to radio broadcast. You're on live. Question or comment? We'll keep moving. Error code 630-630-660. You're on live with the Roland Martin, Black Power. Your question, your comment, please. Welcome to the broadcast.
Black Power, brother, I was wondering what is a good strategy for me to organize a chapter of the new Black Panther Party in Illinois?
Okay, we'll give you that information. We'll give you that information towards the end of the broadcast. Do you have any question for Brother Roland Martin while he's on the line with us?
Oh, no, that's good. Thank you, Black Power.
Okay, Black Power, we'll get you that information. Brother Martin, I want to ask you a quick question. You've had time to spend with President Barack Obama. I just wanted to know if there's anything about him that struck you that we don't know. He's taken a lot of criticism from the black national community for not, quote-unquote, pushing the black agenda. Is he a different man behind the scenes? What was your impression of President Obama?
Here's a fundamental issue when you talk about a black agenda, that you can't push something that people are afraid to present to you. What I mean by this, when President Barack Obama came into the White House, the LGBT community presented him with a 54-page agenda. Hispanics presented him with an agenda. AIPAC presented him with an agenda. You had supporters of the PLO presenting him with an agenda. You had multiple people present agendas, and I think people lose sight of that. And so what African Americans have done in too many cases, and I saw it happen. I have African Americans who said, "Hey, the brother got a whole lot on his plate. We don't need to make it worse." And I'm going, "Well, no, you got 96% of the vote, of the African American vote. Black women voted at a higher rate in 2008 than any other group in the country. It's called return on investment." And so we can't expect him to push something that we have been afraid to present.
Hey, let me say this, Brother Sean, and I will let Brother Roland go. Brother, you said something very, very close to my heart, and you've been knowing me since the think tank and teaching in them King Centers in Dallas. Education is the number one thing, and we're going to end on an educational note. We got a sister who runs an academic subject boot camp, and she want to ask you a question.
Hi, Roland. My name is Kwanzaa, and I heard that you're very passionate about education.
Yep.
I just wanted to know, just very briefly, I know this can be a pretty broad question, but what do you think, what will it take for the black community to develop a culture of achievement and to specifically close the achievement gap from K all the way up to college?
Easy. I think what we have to do is return to having the same attitude that our ancestors had. See, when Bill Cosby got criticized for his comments at the 50th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education, what Bill Cosby was actually saying was that we had a generation of black people who had a first and second grade education, people who had no degrees, who never got past the sixth grade, but they looked at their kids and they said, in no uncertain terms, you are going to get your education. It wasn't even an option. I was telling somebody this story today. I was in the band at Yates High School in Houston, and I enjoyed being in the band. I enjoyed playing bass, baritone, horn. I walked in as a freshman as first cheer, and
as a black high school, and we were practicing late. I mean, 7, 8 o'clock at night. And my daddy said, oh, hell no. He said, no, forget that. And so he came over to the school one day, and he told the band director, I need to talk to you. He said, look, my son ain't here for band. My son ain't here for an education. And the band director, she said, well, you know, look, if he don't practice, he can't march. What started off was a discussion about playing, staying late, being in the band. It ended with my daddy saying, well, he'll have your uniform tomorrow. And I'm going, whoa, how did this happen? My dad made it clear, in no uncertain terms will anything get in the way of education. What has happened is we have made it optional. We have. What has happened is we have set low priorities for our children. Now, I'm follow me here. I am not absolving the education system, these schools and these districts and these politicians that are failing us. I'm a huge ed reform person. I believe in vouchers. I believe in online school, magnet school, charter school, public, private, homeschool. I believe in any possible way to educate a kid. But the point that I'm making is we have to have a zero tolerance for foolishness. I have six nieces. When one of my nieces says something and that sentence is broken, I stop everything and say, stop. What did you just say? And I make her repeat the sentence grammatically correct. And so when my nieces are in my car and we are going somewhere and it's longer than 10 minutes, they've got to be reading a book.
Right. Yeah.
So we have what I call a 24/7 education boot camp in my house. What we have.
Right. Sounds like
that's what it's
going to
require. Yeah, that's what's going to require. It's going to require us literally. No, you're not watching TV. No, you're not doing this. No, that's what it's going to require. It is going to require a serious attitude where we have zero tolerance for foolishness.
Well, Roland, let me say this. We really appreciate you. And as you know, Dr. Khalid Muhammad taught us that the first educational university on this planet was Timbuktu in Africa. And the New Black Panther Party, under my chairmanship coming this year, we will start an online school. We're dealing with educators all around the country. I've been blessed in 23 years to connect with people like you and others that we're going to connect and do for our people, and we're going to make sure that we stay in touch like always. We appreciate you. We love you and respect you, and we're looking forward for you to help us when we need get words out to our community, and if you need us, we're always here. We appreciate you, brother.
All right. Thanks a bunch. All right. Take care.
Yes, sir.
Thank
brother
so
Sean.
Much. Yes, sir.
Let me say this to the Black Power listening audience. Roland have a dynamic wife, too. But what we're trying to do in 2014 is to get serious. What the New Black Panther Party agenda when we come to our summit in February is we don't want to go into 2015, 2016, 2017, 2020, 2030, some of us dead and gone, and not accomplish nothing. In the 23 years of the New Black Panther Party, we did a show last week, Brother Sean, talking about our accomplishments just for 2013, and Attorney Shabazz was on, and he went over them line for line. We have a great history, but I'm telling people all the work that Khalid done, Aaron Michaels, and others as chairmen and Attorney Shabazz for 12 years, we owe those people something. We have a foundation. We have an institution. But in 2014, the New Black Panther Party will be a party of substance, not just sensationalism, not just talking. But we will deal with the Roland Martins of the world who is in my speed dial, and at any time I want, we can be on TV One. We can be on Tom Joyner. We can tell our story to the world. But we got to make sure the New Black Panther Party, that as Attorney Shabazz took on the Million Youth March and we followed, and as we took on so many major topics over the last 23 years, I don't believe at the time when Roland was CNN, he covered it right for our side. But instead of bashing him and trashing him, I knew he was behind enemy lines. We kept our relationship. Well, now he's on TV One. TV One has a large listening audience, too. Now he's on Tom Joyner. So instead of going out trashing him because we don't feel he treated us right a lot of times, we keep the communication door open. We keep the relationship going because as we grow, Roland grow, and now in 2014, we're going to have a voice. But we're going to have to be worthy when we call people like this and when we go in to sit on the couch at TV One. We want to be doing something for our people and telling our people something. And I promise you, Brother Sean, after our summit, with all what we've done over the last 4 months, I'm reading all the different letters that the members are sending, very, very serious letters. No mess, no division, no backstabbing. We will have a good summit. We will set our agenda for the new Black Panther Party moving forward. And we will be a serious voice like always, but we will have more allies on both sides of the table, and we will not compromise being a revolutionary front for our people and challenging the ills of our community, challenging the people who take us for granted. Brother Sean, I just want to thank you once again for coming on, and I leave you to give the calendar date of our celebration for our general. And next Monday, all of y'all tune in and tell everybody to tune in, and we're going to raise the spirit of Dr. Khaled Muhammad. Thank you, Brother Sean. Black Power.
Power, Brother Chairman, thank you so, so much. And thank you, Brother Roland Martin, for your words and encouragement and what you said with us. And all you out there in the radio listening audience, we've had quite a couple of questions, quite a few questions tonight. Questions on the NBPP mixtape, questions on our chapters and how to form a chapter. The best way to form a chapter and really to get a part, to be a part of the New Black Panther Party mixtape, if you're a rapper or poet, if you got music or what have you, is to go to newblackpanther.com or go to our email, newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com. You can call this number, 347-903-0886. Again, that's 347-903-0886. Make sure you participate in the tribute to the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad. You just heard our chairman talking about this coming January the 12th, 1061 Atlantic Avenue at the Christian Life Center, Brooklyn, New York. I will be putting that all on the web, all on Facebook. You can get that, but make sure you participate and hold a celebration wherever you are. If you are in your town, hold one for the Black Power General. We'll come back, God willing, on the 13th for Black Power Radio and do a full tribute to the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad with our National Chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga, with our Chairman Emeritus, Attorney Malik Tulun Shabazz, with other great warriors and soldiers who have soldiered with him and you. This is a great month, and be sure to keep up with this as we push forward towards our National Summit. Information on the way, New Black Panther Party. And for those of you who are looking to get involved and to fall in the ranks of the New Black Panther Party and push the programs, stay tuned. The last week of February, the last week of February is when our summit will happen. That will be February the 28th through March the 2nd. February the 28th through March the 2nd will be right there in Washington, D.C. to give a proper Panther salute to the Attorney General and Attorney at War, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, for his 12 years of service as our national chairman of this organization and for still carrying the banner and being the brother that he is. We're going to do it proper. All kind of guests, all kind of activities, all kind of training coming up at the National Summit. And for the brother, again, who called, who wants to organize a new Black Panther chapter, or any of you out there who are looking to organize chapters of the New Black Panther Party, you email us at newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com. That's newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com, and we'll send you instructions on how to build a chapter, what is to be expected, and how you can be most successful. The number to call again, 347-903-0886, 347-903-0886, to get involved with the activities of the new Black Panther Party in your area. You heard Brother Roland Martin say, you got to put that Black Power agenda forward. And we have the agenda and an agenda and a 10-point platform and international program that we intend to take to every nook and cranny in America and throughout the world. Thank you all so, so much, brothers and sisters, for listening here with us on Black Power Radio. As you always do, you've been a wonderful audience. We ask that if you have the capability that you share this radio broadcast with your family, your friends, brothers and sisters, share this on your website, share this on your Facebook, share this on your Twitters, share this, and keep sharing the information as we intend to keep our people aware of the issues that face them and also provide solutions and revolutionary ideals to help us to revolve and evolve out of its destructive nature and the situations that confront us. Our battle cry is Black Power for Black people. And as we said in the 60s and 70s, we said all power to the people. And remember this, are not free. There's nobody that's free. Join us again next Monday. And be sure to join us as we hope to have a live webcast and broadcast from Harlem, New York, pardon me, Brooklyn, New York. I've got Harlem on my mind, but Brooklyn, New York, for the tribute of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. Stay tuned and stay black. Stay strong. Be safe out there in the winter weather. Use precaution. Black power.
She was magnificent. They don't have to say to white people, I'm better than you. They just do their thing. And white folks have to readjust their thinking. Because they thought that they could master all these instruments, nobody else could. But the Chinese are mastering it, the Japanese are mastering it. All these things are breaking up the mind of white supremacy. Black man, you don't have to bash white people. All we got to do is go back home and turn our community into productive places. All we got to do is go back home. Parading them before the world.